Second Chronicles chapter 29. This morning, in our continuing study of the life of Hezekiah, I would like to look at the heart of this great reformer. We're told something of that in verse 10. Hezekiah said to his priests and the Levites, "Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us." It is written in Genesis 6 and verse 8, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It is also written that the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 33, verse 12, "Thou hast also found grace in my sight." To Noah, Moses, and others who find grace in the eyes of the Lord, we may add the name of Hezekiah. For we cannot study the life of Hezekiah the reformer without seeing the signs of grace in his life. Consider for a moment the areas of his life where grace, the grace of God, is to be found. It was the grace of God that Hezekiah was the son of a woman like Abijah. We have already said something about his mother. The name, you recall, means a worshipper of Jehovah. And this being so, she was an influence for good in the life of her son Hezekiah. She evidently taught her son the ways of the Lord, and he, after a while, came to walk in those ways. Other children were not as blessed or as fortunate to have a mother as Hezekiah had. Turn with me, please, to chapter 22, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 22. And there we read verse 1, "And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the elders. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri." So we see that Ahaziah's mother's name was Athaliah. What kind of a woman was she? Look at the next verse. "And he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." And verse 4, "Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction." Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, was the mother of Ahaziah, and his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. His mother helped to damn the soul of her own Son. For the verse 4 says, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. She was his counselor to do wickedly. And Ahaziah did wickedly, walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, and his mother helped him. There is one very important word here which we dare not overlook. It is that word for in verse 3. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab for or because. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab because his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Ahaziah did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, because his mother was his counselor to do wickedly, because his mother taught him to do wickedly, led him in the ways of wickedness, led him in the ways of evil, and because of that, we are told that he went in the ways of his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. His own mother helped him on his way to hell. Many mothers are doing the same today. By the example that they set their children, they are their counselors to do wickedly. They're helping their own children along the road to a lost eternity. Hezekiah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hezekiah had a mother who, if her name is anything to go by, was a worshipper of Jehovah. And we find that Hezekiah walked in the ways of the Lord and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. His mother was a great influence. It is something that children of godly parents should thank the Lord for every day. That they have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God has brought them into a world and into a home where God is honored and where mother and father know the Lord. Hezekiah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Terrible to be the child, the son, or the daughter of a mother who was your counselor to do wickedly. Next, I see the grace of God in another area of Hezekiah's life. Was it not grace that kept him from following in the ways of his wicked father Ahaz? Remember what we said about Ahaz and what the Bible has taught us? That Ahaz was one of the most wicked kings to ever sit upon the throne in Judah. We have already noted the things that he did, and the things that he did in the house of God, until he eventually shut up the house of God, destroying the vessels that were in the house of the Lord. Was it not the grace of God that kept Hezekiah from following in his father's footsteps? Certainly it was. Very often a son will look up to his father and will want to be like his father and follow his father's example. But it was the grace of God that prevented Hezekiah from following the example of his father Ahaz. Instead, Hezekiah followed the example of his mother. And there you have the grace of God in Hezekiah's life. God's grace turned his heart away from wanting to follow in his father's footsteps and follow in the way of a wicked and evil father. It was the grace of God, only the grace of God, that kept him from following in the ways of Ahab. Notice further, we see the grace of God in Hezekiah's life when he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them, then set himself on a course to bring about a great religious reformation, a great revival in Judah. It was the grace of God. It was the grace of God in the life of Hezekiah that he had an interest in religious matters, that he wanted to open the doors of God's house. That is not the ways of the natural man. That's not the ways of the natural man. It's not the ways of the ungodly. But it was the ways of Hezekiah. Because evidently God had wrought a work of grace in Hezekiah's life. And he wanted the doors of God's house open, and he wanted to see the house of the Lord filled again with worshippers. And the worship of Jehovah once more established in Judah. That is not the ways of an ungodly man. As Paul said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So evidently, God had done a work of grace in Hezekiah's life. He wanted to see revival in Judah. He wanted to see a great reformation. And dear child of God, the Lord has done a work of grace in our lives. It's a work of grace. Would we then not, like Hezekiah, like to see revival in this land, like to see revival in this town, like to see revival in this church? Will we then, with Hezekiah, say, as he said to the priests and the Levites, it is now in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce anger may turn away from us. Hezekiah made a covenant with God that he would endeavor to see and bring about a reformation and revival in Judah. Would we be prepared today to make that covenant with the Lord our God? To say, Lord, today I'm going to make a covenant with thee to pray for revival and to see a revival come to our land and to our city. We can, of course, wring our hands and say our country is in a sad state, and so it is. We can wring our hands and complain about what is happening and how far away the country has gone from God. But if we're not prepared to do anything about it, then why complain? If we're not prepared to give ourselves to praying for revival and praying down the blessing of God, O believer, may the Lord indeed do a work in our hearts today that we will make a covenant with God, that He'll so move in our hearts by His grace, and we'll make a covenant with God. that he might turn away his fierce anger from us. Here's the heart of a reformer. We see it first of all in Hezekiah's call. Hezekiah's call. We read there in verse 3, and in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me. There's his call. Hear me. When his father Ahaz died and Hezekiah came to the throne, Judah was in a sorry state. In a sorry state economically, politically, socially, and religiously. Look there. Verse 19 of the previous chapter. Verse 19. Chapter 28. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked. Ahaz made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. Verse 20. And Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. Look again, verse 22. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that Ahaz. Look at verse 23. And he sacrificed unto the kings of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, Because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. He was in a sorry state. So was the nation. What did we read there in that verse 19? The Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. The nation had been brought low. Ahaz had made Judah naked. The word naked there, among other things, means to be set at naught. That's where Judah was. It was set at naught. The country was bankrupt. Bankrupt politically. Bankrupt economically. Bankrupt financially. And most certainly bankrupt religiously. That was the state of the nation when Hezekiah came to the throne. And I tell you, it needed a man like Hezekiah with a heart like Hezekiah to bring about a change. We notice, first of all, his plan. His plan. We've already mentioned there verses 3 and 4. What did he do first of all? We're told that he opened the doors of the Lord's house. We're then told that he summons all the priests and the Levites, those who would serve the Lord in the Lord's house. He called them together in the east street and he addressed them and he said, Hear me. That was his plan. Notice what he did. He didn't say, for this country to be revived and to see about a great recovery, we need to raise taxes. Or we need to export more. He didn't say, oh, we need to cut the deficit. He didn't say, we need to do this or do the other. We need to be more friendly towards our neighbors. We need to get stronger politically. All these things may have been necessary at some time or another, but notice where he started. His recovery, it started in the house of God. That's where it started. That's where this great reformation began, in the house of God. And that's where this great revival of religion began. It started in the house of God. That's where any true reformation, a true revival begins. It begins in God's house. It begins with a returning to the Lord. It begins with God's people getting right with God. That's what Hezekiah was calling on these priests and Levites to do, to get right with God. Where were the priests and where were the Levites when Ahaz was on the throne? They had neglected their duty. They had bowed the knee to Ahaz. Wasn't so much that Judah needed the neighboring nations to be on their side. Hezekiah knew what was needed most of all, that God was on their side. And we know that at that time the Lord was not on their side. The Lord had brought them low because of their transgressions. On the road to recovery for Judah, Hezekiah knew, must begin in the house of God. Just as the Savior himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. If only we in Canada had men in authority who were like Hezekiah, who recognized that the answer to the country's ills and ailments is a return to God. If only we had men who recognized that. Instead, we have men in Parliament today and they're doing the very opposite. If they had their way, they would shut up every door to every meeting house in Canada. They're seeking to ban the name of God, and the next thing would be they would want to ban the worship of God. You think of us coming to this time of the year, when we remember afresh the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wonderful, tremendous, glorious event, when Jesus Christ, God, became man, you would think the nation would be remembering that great event. Instead, what do we have? We have every town and city in Canada having a Santa Claus parade. I tell you this, I'm sick listening to it. And so the birth of Jesus Christ and the remembrance of that great event has been replaced with a saint, with practically the worship of Saint Nicholas. And it's no longer Christmas time. Rather, it's Happy Holidays. The name of God, the name of Christ has been removed. And if the politicians had their way, they would ban the very name of Christ. They've already done that in their own parliament. They've already removed the Bible, the Word of God, from our schools, and they want to forget God. I tell you, this country is ripe for destruction. It is. What do we need? We need a Hezekiah. We need somebody with the heart of Hezekiah. My, whenever tragedy comes to the nation, wouldn't it be most refreshing if we had a politician or a prime minister or a premier coming on to the television and calling for a national day of prayer and mourning? Wouldn't that be refreshing? To seek the face of God, that God would come and intervene in our nation? The Bible's true. The Bible is true when it says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach. We are under the reproach at this present time. Sadly, because our nation has provoked the Lord God to anger with the laws that has been passed in this country, God has turned His face away from Canada. He has. And the only way that we can see God turn His face again towards this country is that when we covenant with God and get before God and confess our sins and ask God to have mercy upon us. That's what we need, is mercy. That was His plan. It started in the house of God. And the way to political, economical, social recovery starts in the house of God. Doesn't start in Ottawa. Starts in the house of God. Getting right with God. Next, the place. Verse 4, and He brought in the priests and the Levites, and gathered them together into the east street. Why the east street? Why not somewhere else? The east street, of course, was the street that ran past the east gate into the city. I believe this is very significant for a number of reasons. First of all, it is in the east that the sun rises. The sun rises in the east to herald the dawn of a new day. And here was Hezekiah summoning the priests and the Levites to the east gate, or the east street, and he was as much as saying to them, this is a new day for Judah. This is the dawn of a new day. The old regime is over. We need to turn our back on the ways of Ahaz, my father. There needs to be changes. And these changes are going to start today. I have opened the doors into God's house. When did He do it? He did it on the first day of the first month of His reign. He got down to business immediately, and he wanted the priest to get down to business the same day. Marked the beginning of a new day. This, I believe, is emphasized again over in Acts 3. Turn, please, to Acts 3. And there in Acts 3, we read in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried whom they led daily at the gate of the temple, the gate of the temple which is called Beautiful. The gate of the temple which is called Beautiful was the east gate. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple. The east gate speaks of a new beginning. The dawn of a new day. Well, what do we have? We have a man lying there who was lame from his mother's womb, lying at the gate Beautiful. And what happened to him? He got healed that day. The Lord Jesus, working through Peter, healed him. The Lord, in verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones were strengthened. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entering in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. For that man, that was a new day. That was a new beginning. That was a new start to that man's life. I want you to notice something else. Peter and John were going in to the temple by that gate. And they were going in there at the time of prayer, the hour of prayer. They were going in through the east gate to pray. And that's the only way we can see and experience, believer, that's where the answer lies. At the throne of grace. We must enter the house of God. And pray down the blessing and pray that God will turn his fierce anger away from us. And the Lord, or rather Hezekiah, called upon the priests and the Levites to come to the east gate. Priests and the Levites? They had to get back to the business of once again offering up sacrifices, burning incense. They had to get back again to the proper worship and service of God. They had been slack. They had fallen back. They had fallen down on their duty. And believer, we can be slack in the things of God. There are things in our Christian lives that we can tighten up on. The priests and the Levites have got slack. Hezekiah says, "This is the dawn of a new day." He wanted the priests to get back into the house of God. He opened the doors for them. They were to get back to the proper service of the Lord. Revival, believer, must begin somewhere. And revival begins in the house of God. Revival begins in the heart of God's people. And when God's people get revived, they're back into the house of God. Notice his precepts. Hezekiah had somewhat to say unto the Levites, verse 5, and he said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place." We know that sanctify has a double meaning. Sanctify means, one, to be set apart for holy use. Sanctify also means to be made holy. And here Hezekiah calls for the priests to sanctify themselves, to set themselves apart for holy use in the temple. The word literally means to separate. To separate, to be set apart. That's what they were chosen for, to be separated unto the Lord, to serve the Lord. Look at verse 11. "My sons, be not negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. You're set apart for this purpose. Hezekiah was calling upon the priests to separate themselves. No doubt they had become tainted with the idol worship that had gone on during the reign of Ahaz. Now Hezekiah says, it's time for you to separate. It's time for you to wash your hands and your clothes and your garments. It's time for you to be sanctified. It's time for you to set yourselves apart to live separated lives. And believer, that's our obligation. That is our duty to God, to live separated lives. God has called us. God has chosen us for that very purpose. And if we have failed in any way, shape, or form to live that separated life, Hezekiah says, well, now's the time. Hear me. Let us get separated today. Notice also, he said unto them, carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. What was the filthiness that Hezekiah referred to here? I believe it will shock you when you find out, if you don't already know. Turn, please, to 2 Kings. Chapter 16, 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 10. When King Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus, the king and King Ahaz went to Urijah the priest. The fashion, or sent to Uriah the priest, the fashion of the altar, the design of it, and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. In verse 11, and Uriah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Uriah the priest made it against King Ahaz, came from Damascus. Verse 14. And he brought also the brazen altar, which was before the Lord, from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. In other words, Ahaz took away the brazen altar, God's altar, the altar upon which all the sacrifices were made and offered up to Jehovah. Ahaz saw to it that the brazen altar was removed and put away at the back of the temple, and this altar of the heathen gods of Damascus were put in its place. That's the filthiness that Hezekiah refers to here in chapter 29. And he tells them to remove the filthiness out of the temple of the Lord. Get out, get that heathen altar out of God's house. That's the heart of this man. My, don't you love this man? The more you get to know him, he wasn't going to tolerate anything like this in the Lord's house. I said it would shock you to think that someone would go that far and remove the altar, the brazen altar, and bring in a heathen altar. But I tell you something else. I could stand here for long enough this morning and tell you what's going on in churches today, and it would shock you. Yes, in so-called fundamental evangelical churches. What should be done? And what they're saying is, you need to remove the brazen altar. You need to remove the brazen altar. Put it away at the back somewhere and bring in some new thing. After all, you have to get the people in. You have to get the crowds. And so you bring in the gimmicks and you bring in the games. What we need today is men with the heart of Hezekiah. Men and pulpits who will be like Hezekiah and say, let's get this filthiness out of here. Because that's what it is. Filthiness in the eyes of a holy God. And evangelical churches and fundamentalist churches have brought in the filthy things. I'll give you an example. There was a great lot of publicity about Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of Christ. And we had evangelical churches saying, this is a wonderful tool for evangelism. We had churches organizing bus loads of people to go to the cinema to see this film. God says, thou shalt not make unto me any graven image or any likeness. And so that film was cursed of God. Because it broke the commandment of God when had someone acting the Son of God. And these silly evangelicals thought this would be a great evangelistic tool. What have they done? They've brought in the heathen altar. It's not watching films that will save the lost. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the preaching of the gospel, which is symbolized there in the brazen altar. Because the brazen altar speaks to us of Calvary. We must press on quickly. We have Hezekiah's call, and then we have Hezekiah's complaint. In his speech to the priests and Levites, Hezekiah told them what had happened in relation to the worship of God and the state of the nation, verse 6 and 7. And our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, that is the house of God, and turned their backs also. They have shut up the doors of the ports and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Here's Hezekiah's complaint. This is what has happened, he's saying. Notice here that Hezekiah recognizes the problem. The country had been brought low, the country was naked, the country had been set at naught, the country was bankrupt economically, politically, and socially, and religiously. And Hezekiah was the man who recognized where the problem lay. He knew the problem. The problem was the people had turned away from God, and the people had forsaken the house of God. He knew why Judah was naked and set at naught, and why the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, verse 8, had to do with the house of God. It was because of what had been done in the house of God and what had not been done. Look at the catalogue of crimes committed against God. And these crimes, these sins, had been committed where? In God's house. Not out in the street somewhere, but actually in God's house. They have, our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord. You go through that list, verses 6 and 7, and you'll find that Hezekiah lists 9 crimes committed against God. How could Judah possibly no blessing having committed such crimes and transgressions against the God of heaven? But as Solomon has told us, there is nothing new under the sun. What had the priest neglected to do? Or rather, verse 7 tells us what had been done. They have shut up the doors of the porch. They have put out the lamps, the golden candlestick, speaking to us of the light of the Word. They extinguished the lamps. Many churches today have extinguished the lamp of God's Word. Many have put out the light. No longer is the Bible brought to the house of God. No longer is the Bible sitting on the pulpit. No longer is the preacher preaching from the Bible. They put out the lamp. What else? They have not burned incense. And burning of incense speaks to us of prayer. Let my prayer, the psalmist said, come up before thee as the incense. So they put out the light. We're not burning incense. In other words, we're not praying. And then we are told, nor offering burnt offerings. Why were burnt offerings offered to the Lord? They were brought to the Lord at times of confession of sin. So the people had put out the lamps. No light. No word, no preaching, no offering up of burnt incense, no praying, no seeking the face of God, no supplication, no intercession, and no confession of sin. I tell you, as the church goes, so does the nation. What was it Queen Victoria said when the black prince came to her? She offered to him an open Bible, and she said to the black prince, the secret of England's greatness is the open Bible. Well, England and many other countries, including our own, the Bible is no longer open. The Bible has been closed. The Bible has been removed. I tell you, we need a Hezekiah. The lamp has been put out. We need God to raise up Hezekiah. To open the book again. To light the lamps again. To burn the incense again. And to offer the burnt offerings. There's honesty as well. Hezekiah, in his address to the priest, said, our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. Our fathers, that included his own. He was honest. This man had an honest heart. He said, this is where the problem lies. We have transgressed, we have sinned against God. When it comes to confession of sin, believer, there needs to be honesty. Heart. Notice the practices, verse 6. Notice verse 6 again. It says, our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Notice that. The forsaking of the house of God goes hand in hand with turning your back on God. That's what Hezekiah says. They have forsaken the habitation of the Lord our God. They have turned their backs. Forsake the worship of God. That goes hand in hand with forsaking God. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And some individuals feel they're so super holy that there's not a church on the face of this earth that they feel they could worship in, and so they just worship at home. Well, they're not so holy at all. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The forsaking of the worship of God in the house of God goes hand in hand with the forsaking of God. God calls us to worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Notice the punishment. Hezekiah not only reminded the priests and the Levites of the sins of their fathers, but how God had dealt with them. For he says there in verse 8, where the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has delivered them to trouble. Notice that. He has delivered them to trouble. When we pray, we are praying to be delivered out of trouble. But here we find the Lord delivered Judah to trouble. Their troubles was as a result of their forsaking of God, and God's wrath was upon them. We look at the previous chapter and all the defeats that Ahaz suffered, and nobody helped him, and the number of men that he lost in the wars, and the tens of thousands that were slaughtered. You would think he would see that as a sign from God, but no. You know, believer, with all these earthquakes and hurricanes and epidemics and diseases, you know what people should be doing? They should be on their knees and saying, we must have sinned against God. These are signs of God's wrath and God's anger, because that's what they are. Nothing whatsoever to do with that nonsensical talk of global warming. It's God speaking. God speaking to the nations through these calamities. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord God is being poured out upon the nations that forget Him. And when these things happen, men should be calling upon God for forgiveness and praying that the Lord would turn His smiling face towards them again. Lastly, and very quickly, you have Hezekiah's covenant. In the verse 10, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away. His sincerity, this was no empty boast. This was real. This was real. It was in his heart. Dear child of God, let us pray that God will put it in our hearts to make a covenant with Him, to use every opportunity to pray down God's blessing and cause God to turn away His wrath. to remove every idol from our lives, everything that is an abomination in His sight. His sincerity, His strategy, for He told the priests they were not to be negligent, verse 11, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that ye should minister unto Him and burn incense. That was His strategy, calling upon the priests to get back to where they were before with God. Get back to the business you were called to. Notice He said, my sons, be not negligent. Be not now negligent. Start now, He was saying. Right this very day, first day of the first month of my reign, start now. We can do the same. Notice also the word negligent. Your Bible margin will tell you it may be rendered deceived. Don't be deceived, He's saying. Don't be deceived. You cannot go on neglecting your duties and expect to turn away the fierce anger of God. Don't be deceived. You can't live like this and expect God to bless you and bless your nation. Don't be deceived. Don't be negligent. Attend to these matters. Get rid of the idols. Get back into the house of God. Get back to the service of God. Get back to the worship of Him. Get back to the services. Stand before Him. Serve Him. Minister unto Him. See? Make the Lord again the focus of your attention. Make Him the center of all things in your life. Would the Lord not have us do that? I believe He would. And if there's any area of our Christian life that we've been slack on, we've fallen down on, we've neglected, then today, pray the Lord will give us a heart like Hezekiah. And say, it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let us pray. Our loving and our gracious Father and our eternal God, we bless Thee for men like Hezekiah. Thank Thee, Lord, for this great man, this great reformer, this man who would have nothing to do with idolatry or idols or the high places. O gracious Lord, this man who would not tolerate filthiness in the house of God. O Lord, I pray that the altar, the brazen altar, will never be replaced in this house with some heathen altar. O God, I pray the coals will ever burn on the brazen altar in this house. Christ will ever be preached. His sacrifice will ever be set before the people. And O God, help us to give ourselves to praying for revival. Praying for revival here in the house of God. That's where the revival started. O God, come, I pray, come and send revival to this house here. Help each one of us, Lord, even as Hezekiah called his priests sons, indicating they were in it together as a family. Lord, we are in this together as a family. Help us, Lord, as a family then. See this thing through and to pray down revival blessing upon our church and upon our nation. Write Thy word in our hearts. Be with us, Lord, as we leave this house today. Return us to the house of God tonight to worship and to adore our wonderful Lord. For it is in His holy and precious name we pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.